This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
She's one of Ireland's most powerful voices on inequality, education and resilience. Her first memoir, Poor, became a number one bestseller, won Biography of the Year at the Irish Book Awards and sparked huge conversations around poverty, addiction and opportunity in Ireland. Now, psychologist, professor and best-selling author Catriona O'Sullivan is back with a deeply personal new memoir, Hungry, a biography of my body, which explores body image, self-worth, trauma and the complicated relationship many have with their bodies. Catriona, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Delighted to be chatting to you. Your first book, Poor, we'll talk about that first. It connected with so many people across Ireland. Did you ever expect such a huge emotional reaction when you first released it?
No and yes. So I think it's quite rare for a woman to say, I expected to be successful. It's not very ladylike or something, but you know, it was supposed to be demure, or, you know, but I really back myself. So I thought, I really hoped that it would be really successful, and it has been, which is fantastic. I don't know if I expected it to be this successful, which, you know, it's nearly 3 years. It's been in the top 10 for 3 years now. So, yeah, but I genuinely did think, I wouldn't have done it if I didn't think it would reach people and move them and educate them a little bit about poverty. So yes and no is the answer.
I think you're right there. It's such a girl thing to be like, well, I'm not sure success wise, because it's like as if we're not supposed to be like that. But you absolutely have smashed it, and it's amazing to see the success that the book has had. But for people who haven't read Poor yet, can you give me a brief background into your life, which is the subject of Poor?
Yeah, so I grew up really poor in the middle of England. Parents, Irish, my dad's from Dublin, my mum's family's Irish. My parents were heroin addicts, so that meant both of them. That meant I was really hungry as a child, really for emotional support, for safety, for food. And my book is about the consequences of leaving families who are in poor communities to just flounder or to not succeed. And it's a reflection on, I suppose, how I escaped my destiny, which poverty is a destiny in the same way that privilege is. And then I get pregnant at 15, made homeless, and become very much like my mum until I'm 21 and I'm living in Dublin, and I ask for help. And I was lucky that at the time there was an abundance of support for people. I was given therapy within a week of asking for help, free in my local community. And then I failed a load of times, but I found myself in a situation where you are allowed to fail and you're allowed to try things and you're supported to do so. And I found my way into Trinity College, and I learned the greatest lesson of my life, that I'm really smart. I never knew, because education fails kids like me. It tells them that they're responsible for everything, and that if you work hard, you can be anything. And that's a lie. And I believed that until the conditions were made correct. And I learned that I'm super smart, first class honours smart. And I went on to get a PhD, become a professor and get married and find love and do all the things that girls like me generally don't do. So that's the story. In one long sentence.
It's such a beautiful story, so compelling, and something that I would recommend anyone read for sure. But even just touching on some of the subject matter that you bring up there, obviously some serious, serious complications in your background when you were growing up, and to go on and to be living a happy and fulfilling life now is incredible. And to have it in a book form for people to receive education about the system that you were in and things that were happening to you so that they can know more, it's really powerful. And I know that you have another one called Hungry out as well. Incredibly personal, once again, in a completely different way, of course. What made you want to explore body image and self-worth this time around?
I think sometimes when you're a storyteller, you just can't help but tell stories. And so I thought, after Poor, I'm done. But we live in a world that tells women that they need to be smaller in all ways, all the time. And I live in a world where their messages really harm women who are poor and traumatized. So I think it harms all women to be told to be smaller, but some of us are willing to do things to reach that goal that are quite harmful for ourselves. For example, like gastric surgeries, buying Ozempic on the black market, getting our friends to put chemicals in our lips, you know. So I wanted to talk about where hunger to be smaller comes from in some of us. And I use my family life and my experience of trauma to kind of showcase how body hate emerges, and then how the dream of the after picture can be so elusive to some of us that we chase it in so many different ways. But then I also talk about hunger in other ways. So hungry is a play on words. I'm talking about hungry for achievement, like when you've no self-esteem and you've failed a lot and all of a sudden you achieve something, like I did, getting into university and realizing I'm good, that can turn into a toxic drive as well. And then also there's that hunger for connection. So the things I was willing to do to be connected to a man were quite harmful as well. And I talk about that, but I also talk about how I've learned to feed myself in lots of different ways. And yeah, I decided to tell this story because I just couldn't not tell it. Sometimes I'm compelled to tell stories, especially on social topics that are really important to me. And this is another one that's really important to me. Women, their bodies, how we feel about ourselves, and the desire to be smaller is really important to me.
The play on words of hungry as the title for this is remarkable. And I think something that's so special about it as well is, as a child, one of the first, you know, sets of words or sentences you learn are "I'm hungry." Yes. You know, so it can relate to everyone. On it's such a basic yet powerful metaphor for so many things in life. And as a psychologist, do you think that pressure for body image and body confidence and all of those issues that are popping up now more and more, probably through the lines of social media as well, are they getting worse for young people rather than better?
I don't know if they're getting worse. I think they change, and they have changed. So, but they continue. I think what's getting worse is what we can do to actually shrink ourselves. So, I think the average women spends on average 17 years of their life worrying about the size of their bodies, dieting. So I think that diet industry has been around for a long time, but now we have other ways in which people can get smaller and shrink themselves in terms of like surgery and medication. So I don't know if it's worse, but I definitely think that what we can do, it has, the trends change and the harms are as equal. I think what's really important to remember as well is, now that we live in a world of social media, like when I was a kid, and I talk about this, there was a magazine called Smash Hits, and that's where we had TV and we had Smash Hits, which is where we saw our role models, like our body role models. You know, Kate Moss was my body role model. Like, I'm never going to be Kate Moss because just DNA wise, I'm not made that way. So, but now with social media, we are carrying around with us smash hits. We're carrying around with us messages. So, and we live in a world actually where we can create what our lives are like and make them seem like they're real lives. We can create actually our bodies as well and make them seem like they're real lives. So young people and older people are really being impacted by social media in ways that we weren't before. So whether it's getting worse, I don't know, but I think how we're consuming the information has changed and is something that needs conversation.
Absolutely. It's something we've even spoken about on the show before, because we are carrying around constant reminders now of what other people look like. And if you are drawn in any way to comparison, which most people are, that can turn into quite a toxic thing for you. What do you hope readers, especially younger readers and younger women, take away from Hungry after they finish the book?
I think the most important thing is that it's okay to have a big body. It's okay to have a big mouth. It's okay to have a big brain. It's okay to take up space psychologically, sexually, emotionally, physically. Like, I'm not a person that would suggest, like, I think healthy is really important, But like, you can be bigger and you can be healthy. I think the most important thing is to be healthy. But for girls to know that it's okay to, it's beautiful to be yourself and to find yourself. And, you know, I think it's really sad. You know, there's some stats that relate to my book. You know, by the age of 16, I think it's up to 60% of girls are dropped out of sport. We're not playing sport. One in three girls has disordered eating behavior by that age as well. Like, we really need to be talking about this and encouraging young women to, and showing young women that it's, oh, you can like yourself and be wrinkly and have small lips and be a bit bigger or bigger. And, you know, so definitely for me, my message is be big in whatever fashion that is, and never be ashamed of that. But also recognize that we're influenced. Like, one of the messages I try to give is I would recommend people to clean up their feed all the time. Like, what you're consuming is really, really important. Real people who look normal, who look real, no before and afters. You know, try to clean up the world that you're ingesting, because that will really help you to like yourself.
It's a brilliant message, because social media seems to be a key denominator in so many issues that are prevalent at the minute relating to that. What's next for you, though? I know that Hungary is taken off, but do you think we could ever see Poor or Hungary being brought to a screen, perhaps in a documentary?
Well,
format?
It's on. Poor has been on stage, so Poor is a sold out show in the Gate Theatre for two runs in Dublin. So, and then it just came back from its international debut in Coventry, which was a big success. So, hopefully, we'll bring that back. Hopefully we'll bring it back to Dublin. Hopefully we'll bring it to the UK again. But I really hope we can bring it to Dublin again. I think there's still audiences that haven't seen it, want to see it. So that would be it. And I'm in conversations about screen. When I was in the UK recently, I met with some fabulous people who produce amazing TV. It would have to be right. I didn't write a book to make a film. I wrote a book. I think, you know, people don't understand sometimes when it's a memoir, particularly, you can control it and you control the way it is told. But when it turns into something else, you lose some of that control. So it'd have to be a situation where I was happy with whoever I was doing it, because my parents could become villains, or, you know, it could be like Shameless, which I absolutely don't want. So I just need to be mindful of that. But I am more open to it now than I ever was before. And I'm having conversations. So we'll see. I'm really excited to see. In terms of my work, I'm writing more. I'm writing a kid's book. I suppose I'm just embracing the idea that I am a writer. You know, I know that sounds mad. I've written two books, but it's kind of like a bit weird to say I'm a writer. I'm an academic. Like, I work in a university. I'm a professor of psychology, but I am actually a writer, and I'm really enjoying just allowing myself to give myself permission to do the thing that I really love, which is writing.
Given that space, it's so powerful. And, you know, I think that's the type of attitude that the best storytellers have, that you're giving it that space. Generally on this segment for I Recommend, we actually ask our guest to recommend something to the listener, or to me in particular as well, what they should be obsessed with right now. Not necessarily their own work. We should be obsessed with Poor and Hungry. But what are you currently really enjoying, either book-wise, series-wise, podcast-wise, film-wise?
Oh, so I am really enjoying, in terms of TV, The City Is Ours is a fantastic TV show. Me and Dave are binge watching it. It was nominated for a BAFTA. I hadn't heard of it before until I watched the BAFTAs the other night, and it is absolutely phenomenal. So I would definitely say that as a series. In terms of books, oh God, have you got an hour? I love books. So I'm currently reading Jeanette McCurdy's I'm Glad My Mam Is Dead,
yes,
which is a memoir for iCarly, if anyone remembers iCarly. It's fabulous, actually. She actually wrote a fiction as well, and it came out at the same time, and the both of them are really good. So I would highly recommend them. And in terms of podcasts, Sam Baker's podcast. I don't know if you know Sam Baker's podcast in the UK, but it's a really good podcast. I would definitely recommend that. I actually find podcasts quite hard if they're long. Like, I like a short podcast, like 30, snippet. 40 minutes, yeah, myself. But yeah, definitely recommend The City Is Ours as a series. I'm just finishing it now and it's fab. Fab.
Oh, I'll have to watch that. I'll have to add that to my watch list and add those books to my read list and also that to my podcast listening. I'm going to be busy. Katrina, it's been an absolute privilege to have you on the show. Thank you so much for chatting to us. I'm sure we will have you on iRadio's group chat again.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Take care of yourself.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it.
On iRadio.